welcome to Back to the Early Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Oh, pretty good. Easter was yesterday, right? So we worked our way through all that. It was beautiful weather, beautiful.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, it's day 100 of the calendar year. And day 100.
Wow.
Man, what happens to the time?
I know. As you get older, it's sort of, it's all like Einstein's theory of relativity, right? Each day is a smaller piece of all of the rest of the pieces of your life. And so I think time goes faster and faster.
It really, truly does.
Remember how slow it was, the time it went from Thanksgiving to Christmas?
Yes.
That used to seem like an eternity.
Yeah, and now, man, almost a third of 2023 is over, and it's just like yesterday.
Yeah, I still can't write 2023 on a check without thinking about it.
But Sandy, all sorts of things going on. There have been more shootings.
There's one going on right now, apparently. In Louisville.
Yeah, in Louisville. And they don't know how many people have been shot.
Well, you know, this year we've had more than one mass killing a day. You know, mass killings being defined, I think, as four or five people being shot at once.
Sandy, do you think there's ever going to be a time in this country that we can ever get over this? I don't think there'll ever be.
Well, look what happened in Tennessee. I mean, of course, that was probably a couple of issues. It might have been racial. It might have been gun rights. But ironically, it was guys getting expelled from a legislature for standing up against guns. No, I don't think we'll ever solve this because we've already got 400 million guns. You know, the genie's out of the bottle. And it'll never be hard to get a gun in the United States, even if we've banned guns across the board. They'd never be able to keep guns out of the hands of people who wanted a gun.
So,
but the AR-15, that's something that has been facilitated. You know, when that ban was lifted in the 90s, suddenly we now have over 20 million of these AR-15s. And I saw a thing on a video that was listing all of the mass killings and what weapon was used. AR-15s. Assault rifles were used in every one of the mass killings.
You know, Sandy, I was reading an article in the Milwaukee Journal. I think it was last week, Friday. And there are apparatus, small things that you can add to any handgun or any rifle to make them automatic.
Was it like, it's like that bump stock?
It's like the bump stock. Yeah. And you can buy them overseas. And they found in the city of Milwaukee that the increase in the apparatus that can make handguns automatic is tremendous. And so guys can buy that stuff and then sell them on the street. Mm-hmm. To guys, and it doesn't take much time at all to make any handgun an automatic weapon. And so for those who don't know the difference between that automatic weapon and a semi-automatic weapon, which is a guy like me who didn't know, is that the automatic weapon, you pull the trigger once.
And it keeps going.
And it keeps going.
Yeah.
And a semi-automatic, you got to keep pulling the trigger, right?
Yeah. Well, how inconvenient. This is the craziness of us believing that we ought to have automatic weapons in the hands of anybody and everybody, you know, is crazy. And even the Glock, the pulling the trigger multiple times, the big magazines that people have. I mean, we're arming ourselves for warfare, and we're doing it with our eyes wide open, you know. In fact, there's a big part of this, I think, is the notion that people want to defend themselves against the government.
You know,
the hardcore gun rights people, one of the things they'll talk about is is being able to withstand the implementation of unlawful laws, which apparently means that each one of us is entitled to decide whether a law is lawful or not.
You know, Sandy, I want to put that question before the listening audience. Phone lines open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Your thoughts? I mean, you know, it's one thing to talk about all the other things that we talk about. But, Sandy, I don't know if there's anything more important than that discussion that we've not been able to come to any agreement on with guns.
Well, we talk about expending blood and treasure in warfare, and we're expending far more blood in the killing of one another every year than we ever have in our wars. So, yeah, we should be worried about this. And furthermore, guns are clearly contributing to an atmosphere in our cities that is making cities more difficult to live in. It's creating some of the political divide, this fear of cities. It's contributing to the fear of race.
The slaughter of citizens in this country is totally unacceptable. We can talk about the wars. Well, 13 soldiers were killed in leaving Afghanistan.
Yeah, I know, CJ. People will bring that up all the time. And we have 13 people killed over weekends in Milwaukee sometimes. And in the United States, we have thousands of people killed over weekends.
Tens of thousands over the years that we have. And I don't care. You know, you have your right to own weapons. But, Sandy, as you stated, whether or not you should have a right to an automatic killing stick that's military grade is what we're talking about. And I know people who own them, right? And as you stated, the only purpose, the sole purpose of a weapon like that is not because you're afraid of your countrymen. Your fellow countrymen, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know, but clearly the only purpose of an AR rifle is killing. I mean, you don't hit someone with multiple bullets, and particularly the kind of bullets these things shoot, which tear flesh terribly. I mean, what happens when someone is hit with a bullet from an AR-15 is apparently unspeakable damage. And veterans from war can tell you about how much damage an assault rifle bullet can do to somebody.
You know, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, people are outraged about the abortion question and issue. People are outraged about whether or not we should support Ukraine or not. People are outraged about the economy. But we don't get as outraged about the killing. Why is that?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, the irony I find about the abortion controversy is the extent to which it's focused on the welfare of a fetus. But once that fetus is born and becomes a child, we don't have anywhere near the same level of national rancor about making sure that children are well taken care of or live in peaceful, safe places, right? And so guns are part of the danger to these children. In fact, the leading cause of death in children now,
it's
I believe,
guns.
Is guns. And so, you know, the post-fetus, we children emerge into a dangerous world. They emerge into a world where there isn't health care waiting for them. They emerge into a world where they don't have daycare provided to them. I think that at least this debate about pro-life and choice, whatever it's going to be called, ought to include a significant discussion about the welfare of the child post-birth. And we have one of the highest birth morbidity rates in the world, at least in the developed country worlds. Women, the mothers are in some of the greatest danger of any mothers giving birth in the developed world, and as well as the child. So, you know, we seem to worry about something that's kind of at a theoretical stage, that fetus stage, where we don't tend to focus much worry about them after that.
So, Sandy, here's another thing that it's amazing to me. Last week we were talking about transgender, and the phone lines stayed lit up.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get one call when we're talking about guns. And I know that over 50% of the American people don't own guns.
Well, and more than 50% when polled. I mean, of course, you can always ask who did the poll and how was it conducted. But my understanding is that almost any poll taken by anybody of a broad cross-section of America reveals that well over 50% of America want gun controls put into place. You know, they have a fear of guns and a fear of the widespread use of guns. But politically, that doesn't seem to have traction. And this is a political third rail.
And so, you know, we've got to go to a break. But when we come back, I want to carry the conversation a little deeper, Sandy, if you don't mind, because it just needs to be said, and we'll talk about it. We got a lot of other things we're going to talk about. We're going to carry this conversation just a little bit deeper. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Monday. It means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. So Sandy, again, we don't have, you know, the whole constitutional right thing. I get it. Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. I was going to say something.
Totally off the air.
Yeah, with Sandy Williams, my co-host. And again, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Can you tell me, you and the listening audience, haven't you had enough? I mean, as Sandy just said, as we are speaking right now in Louisville,
it's an active shooter, right?
An active shooter. Six people wounded in shooting at South Carolina Beach, and that was on April 8th. What's that, Friday? Six people were shot at a South Carolina beach. What is it? I mean, and this is germane only to our country for the most part. All of these continued shootings and killings. And Sandy, at this rate, there's not going to be any of us who are safe from this, is it? You wind up someplace that you feel is safe, and all it takes is some deranged person to come in, and you don't know what makes the guy or the young lady snap.
Well, here's the problem, I think, and that is that, you know, the NRA likes to focus on that. Say, oh, we just need to have more a focus on mental health. Well, you know what? Mental health is a problem everywhere in the world. It's just part of the human. It's part of the human condition. Some of us aren't just right.
Right.
And some of us go through periods of our life where we aren't just right, and then we get back on track. But if you're not just right and have access to guns, you've created a whole different circumstance than people just having difficult roads, difficult parts of their life, you know? And so it's the presence of guns in the hands of mankind that create this problem, because some of mankind has problems. Some of mankind has mental issues. Some of mankind is going to act out. And apparently, we in America just are unwilling. We stick our heads in the sand. We aren't willing to look at reality and say, look, it's the presence of guns that's the problem in the face of mankind, because mankind has the tendency or the potential to make use of them in terrible ways.
You know, Sandy, when the majority of the people in this nation are like me, I've never pulled the trigger on a gun in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to my grave never having pulled a trigger of a gun, not knowing what the sensation of that is. And I'm not opposed to people hunting. My dad didn't hunt, so clearly I didn't. And so my children haven't. But there must be some sensation that people get from pulling that trigger that makes them get to a point, Sandy, where, you know, the love of it.
Well, it's the great equalizer.
Yeah, you know, hunting, Sandy.
I know, but I mean just the gun creates a physical equalizer. Guns in the hands of
smallest guy in the world,
98-pound guy, yeah, can take care of the rock, you know. So it's in most respects, I think basically it's just the great equalizer. It empowers you in that way, if you think that way. Hunting is different. Most hunters, I think, don't have that same sensation.
Yeah, and don't have the AR-15s.
Definitely don't have AR-15s. It wouldn't be sporting. And, you know, I did a little bit of bird hunting in my life and actually found that I didn't really enjoy even killing birds. This preoccupation with guns, particularly handguns, anyone who has shot guns understands that a handgun is not an accurate gun, okay? It must be shot at short range unless you are an unbelievably expert sharpshooter. You know, you need to shoot a handgun at something that's within 10 or 15 yards of you, or there's no chance of, handguns are not very accurate. And, you know, you need to hold it with both hands, you need to stand carefully, you know, it's not a quick draw and shoot it right in the, no, that's not the way handguns work. And rifles are, you know, guns to be shot at longer range are very accurate and very deadly.
All right. So, again, for the life of me, I don't know. I don't understand. There are a lot of things I don't understand in life. No question. But that whole love of guns is one that I'll never be able to understand. And yes, people have a right to own them. You know, I got a couple of friends, they own 10, 11 AR-15s.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, man, why? Well, they just kind of love them. One was in the military. Got another friend who builds them. And they asked me to go to the range. It's fun, Earl. I'm like, no, why don't you just come and just try it once? Not something that you know, I'm really interested in. And never have been and probably never will be. But I just don't understand it. We're going to move on after the break. But I don't understand why we can't really address these things, Sandy. As you stated, there's something going on right now, and we don't know the extent of it.
Well, to me, the power of the gun lobby is money and politics, but it's also just private. The capacity of very willful private interests in politics to carry the day in Washington and in state houses all around the country, because everyone knows what those polls show about the general American view of things. But the capacity of this special interest to, for instance, threaten incumbents with a primary race apparently carries the day.
All right, listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. If this is what's true, tell me how come I keep believing. right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. It's Monday, and as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. And Don from Milwaukee, good morning to you, Don. Thank you very much for the call. Always a thoughtful caller. Your thoughts on the guns?
Good morning, Earl. Well, I agree with you on the we need sensible gun control. I just wanted to bring your attention to what has happened in Tennessee. There are three people that were trying to have a dialogue about sensible gun control.
Right.
And they have been shut down, and they've been threatened. And there's a very possibility that they're trying to, the gerrymandered legislator in Tennessee wants to pass a bill where they can be removed from office.
No, they have been never, removed. Yeah, two of them have been removed from office.
They have been removed, right. And right. I'll tell you one thing, fellas, that's coming here to Wisconsin. You better get braced for it. It's sad. Anything that's sensible, the Republicans are against. I, for the life of me, I'm baffled by this. But I'll tell you, this is not a good situation. So that was my main comment.
Okay. All right, Don. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Hey, Al, what's going on, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to add to your thoughts about guns and what have you. People are afraid. The whole point about the guns is fear. And they think that since they can't deal with people intellectually and with words, that they can scare the hell out of them because they have a gun. You know, back in the day when karate was created, it was the peasants fighting against the army, and they had to create a combat situation where they could be just as strong as the people with the swords and with the spears or what have you. But see, the majority of people here are afraid that somebody's going to come and take things away from them that they feel that they've earned over time. But see, we're not out hunting for food anymore. When people used to do that, you needed something to offset the speed and cunning of an animal. But you're not hunting for food anymore. And I learned how to hunt with a slingshot when I was a kid. And, you know, accuracy is about practice. Just like in any other thing, you got to practice to be the best at it. But 90% of this is run by fear. I read a report over the weekend about the 10 most racist states in the United States. Wisconsin was ranked number 4 behind Maryland, Arkansas, and Mississippi. Have a good day.
All right, Al. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, I think you're right on about fear. And then with the point you made about people being afraid of something being taken away from them, I think it's both a physical potential taking away, but it's also more metaphorically, I think, and I mentioned this last week, I think a big part of the craving for guns right now is this fear that the establishment has, essentially I would call it the Judeo-Christian establishment of America has, that the America that they know and knew and believed in is slipping away from them, and they are interested now in protecting it, and they're going to protect it by repressing votes of people who don't fit that category. They're also going to repress it by carrying guns, because there are people, some of the callers who call in, there are people who think that that reckoning day is coming, when there's going to be a clash in America, and people have trouble describing who that clash is going to be between. But I think when you read between the lines, it's not just a class clash. It has to do with race as well. And I think that a lot of this is underlying it, people don't even know what it is that motivates them. They just know that they're feeling fearful, and it calms them to have a handgun.
You know, Sandy, I think you're 100% correct with that assessment. And it's tragic that somehow people want to take matters into their own hands. And the fact that people are fearful of things, it's hard to, you know, I can't live my life in fear. I don't know about anybody else, but I live in a city that's pretty dangerous. Clearly one of the most dangerous cities now, based on numbers, in the country. I don't live my life in fear.
Right.
Sandy, I can't say, well, you know, the city of Milwaukee is dangerous and there are people running around with guns, so I got to get mine.
Well, I lived in New York City, and people used to be afraid to go to New York City, and there was danger in New York City. But if you live in an area, you get a sense of the fact that danger is still a very small percentage probability.
Yes.
To anybody, very small percentage. It's like getting in an airplane and believing it's dangerous. An airplane's the least dangerous place you can sit in a chair and move.
Right.
I think what's interesting is this whole the fear motivating guns, and I'm confident if you did a demographic analysis of the NRA, the active NRA participants and donors, you'd find out that that demographic was very homogeneous, and it was very much like what was viewed as the American establishment of the 50s.
Say, Al, you're still there? Okay. Let's have a conversation, not about Joe Biden. Let's have a conversation about why people are so enamored with all these guns.
Because we have legal, law-abiding citizens. It's in our Constitution. We have the right to own one.
But where is it in the Constitution that you have a right to own an AK-47?
I believe the Second Amendment. But here's the fact. I'm going to give you two videos. Sheriff Billy Woods in Ocelot, Florida, play his video. And then there's a black man, Mark Robinson, who spoke at Greensboro City Council. I'd like you to Google that, Earl. Speaks the truth about guns.
What's the truth about guns? CJ, what's the truth about guns? Never mind what he said. What's the truth about guns?
The gun didn't commit the crime. The person committed the crime. Mere fact that you claiming, and here's the thing about down in Tennessee, our Vice President Do Nothing Harris, if you want to see race driving, racism, listen to her speeches, because she's divide and conquer, always has been, always will.
Hey, CJ.
And the mere fact that she refused to meet with the families, the victims, just goes to prove.
The victims
and
of
which parties?
The victims of what, CJ?
Of this mass shooting, so-called mass shooting down there by a lesbian.
CJ, you don't have any. You think that what the Tennessee legislature did in removing those two legislators was correct?
I don't know all the facts on that, but I tell you what, their decorum caused their problems. Their decorum, which they seem to think is cool to cause ruckus and not to follow decorum, that's okay with you.
I want to stop you there and then I give you another chance. There's been people who didn't follow decorum in every statehouse in the nation every day, and they aren't removed completely from the statehouse.
Are you okay with that, Earl? You're okay with not following decorum?
Decorum is not reason to say that 15 150,000 people now don't have representation. Decorum is not an acceptable reality for that, CJ.
Well, here's the thing.
No, no, that's the issue. Offered
police legislation that the Democrats want to continue to keep as campaign issues. Remember Tim Scott? Yeah. Remember Tim Scott on the floor trying to deal with
So hang on, CJ. Hang on, CJ. Hang on, CJ, because you give Sandy and I a headache. Let's see if Al, you want to have a dialogue with CJ for a couple seconds? Let's try it out.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Al, a wounded Vietnam veteran. Al, you wanna respond?
What CJ is talking about is idiocy, basic racism. Now, there have been other disagreements with the Tennessee legislature based on the news reports that I've heard, and they didn't remove those other people. It was just those blacks, and they didn't remove the white lady who was helping them to interrupt the proceedings because... And she made the comment that this was about the color of her skin. It had nothing to do with them disrupting it. They didn't want to hear what them boys had to say. Therefore, they shut them down, and the boys insisted that they were going to interrupt so that they could get their point across, just like CJ does all the time. And they kicked them out of the house. You don't kick TJ off your show. Even though he's constantly disrupting, the point is, there's one rule for him, but there's a different rule for everybody else. Is that what you're saying, CJ? Hello? Hello?
Thank you for your service. You know, it's not about... My point is that legislation and their disruption, I don't know all the facts, about the white woman versus the black.
Well, you haven't read CJ. It's out there.
She didn't have a megaphone. She didn't have a megaphone. She didn't cause the disruption. Continued disruption, and from what I saw in the video, but the mere fact that the Republicans.
All right, that's good enough. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call.
Do you think the bell goes off when it gets to tilt? here's what troubled me about the reason I said oh my about CJ is that he made. Well, the statement that first of all that people did it, not guns. Well, the people with guns. I don't understand that's such a simple syllogism, but. Then to start talking about the fact that the mass killer was an angry lesbian, I mean, that's like just trying to throw different issues and confound them. I mean, everybody who goes around the bend and commits a mass killing has got serious problems.
Right.
And the fact that this person was a lesbian or transgender or whatever she was is just... Part of the problems that person might have that are individual to the person, but to generalize, I mean, CJ's comment would suggest that maybe what lesbians are more likely to commit murders. I doubt it.
Which is so ignorant because all the other mass shootings that happened
are by men.
Yeah, and it's the first time I've heard it being a lesbian. And even if that was the case, and this person does not consider themselves to be a lesbian, that's not my business, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Not our business, but the fact that he makes that a part of the discussion.
Well, it's part of our social, it's part of this social process of finding cords of fear, and
yeah.
Some people fear such things.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. We're going to move on. We're going to go into the GOP immigration.
Yeah.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, when I saw this, I thought it was a mistake, but it only goes with the thought processes of far too many people in Congress. And unfortunately, their answer is always the wrong answer. And it says, GOP embraces new foreign policy. Bomb Mexico to stop fentanyl. Now, Sandy, yes, there clearly has been fentanyl crossing the border of Mexico. And we know it. But before Mexico, it was China. We heard that the Chinese are the ones who are sending fentanyl over to this country.
Well, it was criminals in China who were doing it. And it's criminals in Mexico who would be doing it, first of all.
But the fact that we got to do something about it, that in this instance, there are people saying we need to go into Mexico and bomb.
Well, bomb or otherwise take military action against them, right?
So let me say this before we go in, Sandy, and that's the fact that the American people who are addicted to drugs, how can you blame another nation for that?
Well, the fact is that there's a demand side to this whole thing. There's a supply side and a demand side to reduce it to economics. And without the demand side for it, the supply side wouldn't make any difference, right? So, it's clearly a social problem in America. And yes, the supply side is currently apparently being supplied in a material way by Mexican criminals and fentanyl. And we would like the fentanyl coming from Mexico to slow down. We would like the Mexican government to slow it down. I'm confident the Mexican government is doing something about it. I think there is corruption, we believe, and what have you. But
right.
but here's the problem. Mexico is a sovereign country. And if we would invade Mexico without their permission, for the purpose, the ascribed purpose on our part, of chasing the criminals pursuing and punishing the criminals who are bringing fentanyl into this country, that was Pancho Villa. That was what happened at the turn of the last century with Mexico. That's actually an act of war, all right, to send military into a country without the approval of the sovereign. What would we be doing in that case? Well, probably the first call I would make if I were the president of Mexico would be to President Xi of China, saying, you know what, I need some help. My powerful neighbor to the north of me is disregarding our sovereignty and is sending military here in spite of the fact that we have not invited them. Can you help us? Okay? And, of course, if you put the shoe on the other foot, if Mexico were invading China, which was Pancho Villa was doing, he was not a sovereign, he was a criminal, we felt that was an act of war, essentially. So our American approach to the world seems to be to exercise our military muscle. And we seem to do it as a reflex action. And we seem to do it because we can, disregarding international law, regardless of other principles. We tend to do it because we can. And we're backing ourselves into a corner. We're backing ourselves into a corner with China. We're going to start separating ourselves from Europe, vis-a-vis, for instance, Emmanuel Macron, just coming back from China, having cut deals with China. We've got Elon Musk, an American businessman who's just cut a deal with China for more manufacturing in China. We need to wake up before we die right, okay, die wrong.
So, Sandy, is it ignorance or arrogance? I mean, it's one thing.
It's hubris. Hubris, which ends up being, I think, ignorant arrogance.
So it's one thing if an American citizen says, we need to do that. But in recent weeks, Donald Trump has discussed sending special forces and using cyber warfare to target cartel leaders if he's reelected president, and per Rolling Stone, asked for the battle plans to strike Mexico. Representative Dan Crenshaw, a representative of Texas, and Mike Waltz, representative of Florida, introduced a bill seeking authorization for the use of military force to put us at war with the cartels. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican, Arkansas, said he is open to sending U.S. troops into Mexico to target drug lords, even without the nation's permission. And lawmakers in both chambers have filed legislation to label some cartels as foreign organizations. So Sandy, again,
I would remind the world that the reason, one of the main reasons Russia gave for invading Afghanistan back in the 70s was the flow of drugs from Afghanistan into Russia, and that the rest of the world, led by us, viewed that as an illegitimate purpose. And in fact, we began to arm the Mujahideen who were now then fighting against the Russian invasion, because, you know, the enemy of the Soviet Union was our friend, so we befriended them. But, you know, I just think our foreign policy needs to be examined with extreme rationality and in a bright light, with a real heavy duty discussion of international law, long range plans, long range implications, because we are feverishly driving the rest of the world into one another's arms in a way that is going to be very damaging to us. And I would assert that the most important resource that America has internationally is the U.S. dollar, is the world reserve. And we are taking all of these actions serve to cause greater risk that will lose its status. Were Mexico to decide to not use the dollar, well, that would be hard for them because we're their biggest trading partner. But you know what? Being totally arrogant in our dealings with Mexico is not a good idea.
You know, Sandy, I think that what we have is the dumbing down of many of our congressmen and senators from decades ago who knew about these other nations. They knew something. And you look at some of the people, as I ran the names of these people off, who just want to agree with, let's go in with military force. They have no concept, Sandy, at all. They don't understand the implications of what it is they're doing, so they just make these kind of grandiose statements.
Well, the Pax Americana, this period post the Soviet breakdown in 1991.
Sandy, we got to go to the break. When we come back, I want you to continue it on the other side. We'll be right back. I mean,
most of the people in Congress have only lived.